Good morning, everyone. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be here with you all this day. A few announcements as we begin the service. Please note the mentions there from the Missions Committee. Our bread tin money is going to go to help purchase uniforms for needy children in Ghana this month. And also, certainly our kindest regards and appreciation for the very generous gift at Christmas that you all gave the staff. So that's from all of us as a thank you. Also, the SAMS meeting, the Senior Adult Ministries, they'll be meeting Wednesday the 9th at 11:30 at Derek and Margaret's home. She needs to know how big to make the cottage pie. So, you know, if you're going to go, please let her know if you have not yet. And I will be there, okay? We have several other committees, but please note one change from what's listed there in the bulletin. Due to a number of conflicts, the worship committee is not going to meet tomorrow. Instead, we're going to meet next Monday on the 14th instead of the 7th, same time and place and all that. So if you're on the worship committee, please note no meeting tomorrow. It's been postponed to next Monday at 11 o'clock. Also, we have trustees meeting, long-range planning committee meeting, and am I missing any meetings? I hope not. Oh, also, next Sunday at 7, we'll have a leadership development thing at 7 o'clock in Brown Chapel. Let's see. Is there? Yes, Rick. Ah, today, after church, we're unhanging the green or taking down the decorations for Christmas and Advent. If you can stick around for a few minutes after the service, that would be of huge help to us with regards to undecorating the church. So thank you in advance for your help with that. It's Kitty. So great. We ended up 200 pounds over our goal, huh? Great. That's a common problem for me. I always wind up being over my weight goal. maybe you all struggle with that as well, but it's a good thing when it comes to Manna Food Bank. So thank you for that update, Kitty, and thank you for all your generous contributions of beans. This next year we'll be collecting canned fruit. Like Kitty said, go ahead and get it in now, and then we won't have to worry so much in December. Other announcements? Well, if not, this being Epiphany Sunday, and I invite you to stand as we sing together our opening hymn, number 254, We Three Kings. And let's just sing the first and last verses of 254.
Mountain, follow me, numbers.
And I invite you to remain standing as we join together in our responsive reading as printed in the bulletin. This is taken from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms.
Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come.
They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
Please be seated, and I invite our children to come forward for our children's time.
Good morning. How are you all? Good morning, everybody. Thank you. Miss Margaret's here. Cutie. Now then, do you know what? There's three wise men still sitting over there, and they need to come over here. So I need, and Davey's going to help you reach them down. Let's have the twins doing it this week, because you weren't here last week, were you? Can you go and get the wise men? Go with David over there, sweetie. Over there. Behind the tree. Thank you. And bring them over here. They've been traveling so long. They're so glad to get to where they need to be this morning. So while they're doing that, Miss Margaret's going to read a Bible verse. And it's from Matthew 2, verse 10 to 11. When the wise men saw the star, they were filled with joy. They went to the house where the child was and saw him with his mother. That's just what they're doing now. They bowed down and worshipped the child. And they opened their gifts and gave him treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So, okay, Anne, thank you.
Here are the wise men. Welcome to our church, gentlemen. Please take a seat with our children. Can we help you? What are you looking for? Christmas is the time we celebrate Jesus' birth. Every Christmas, we worship him and celebrate his coming. I hate to tell you, but I can't show you Jesus.
Jesus already left? I knew we should have traveled faster. You always pick the slowest camel. If we would have taken the interstate instead of the slow back roads, I bet we would have not missed Jesus.
Jesus didn't leave.
Really? Where is he?
Jesus is here. Jesus is no longer a baby. He grew up and died on the cross. But then Jesus rose from the dead. He lives in our hearts.
So what do we do with these gifts?
Let's put them in front of the altar.
Great idea. Now we can go back to the east and tell everyone Jesus is living. We'll tell everyone Jesus is here. How about you, children? Will you help us tell the others about Jesus?
Are you going to help tell everyone? I'm sure you are. Well, you know, we want to thank these wise men for coming all this way. They've been traveling for years and years, and at last they have arrived, and they have a long journey back. So the wise men have to go back where they came from. But we need to do the bread tin offering. So this year it's going to go to a boys' school in Ghana, and it's going to try and collect and buy uniforms for those boys. We've done it once before, so please give generously. And thank you, children. Now, who's going to do it? Those that haven't done anything, okay? We need four of you. Two on one side and two on the other. You two this side. Can you go one on either side, please? Go that side, sweetie. There you go.
Well, before our scriptures are read, let us join together our prayer for illumination as printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. Holy Father, creator of the heavens, who led the Magi by a star to worship the Christ child, lead us today as we hear your word. Guide and sustain us, that we may find our journey's end in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, it's very easy for you. Just find page one. However, that happens to be like right in the middle of the book, but page one of the New Testament. Our lesson this Epiphany Sunday, Epiphany is a big Greek word, but it just means making known. This Epiphany Sunday is the story of the visit of the wise men. I imagine they look very similar to our visitors this morning. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it's been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you've found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." And when they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In what I believe is one of Mark Twain's best works, The Innocents Abroad, he writes about a long trip he took from America to Europe and the Middle East. Or as he puts it, it was a trip where the New World was going to see the Old World. And he says in that something that I want to share with you, because I think it's one of the best quotes I've ever heard. He says, "Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. And many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all one's lifetime." Isn't that a great quote? I love that. I happen to think that Twain was one of the most brilliant people to ever live, and I think his quote about travel is very, very accurate. If you read much of The Innocents Abroad, which I encourage you to do, you'll quickly see that Twain is not at all polite with regards to what he experiences in his travels there in Europe and the Middle East, neither to himself or to others. He can even be downright nasty about some things, but the physical act of moving from our own little corner of the earth to somewhere totally different has some sort of strange power over our minds and even our spirits, I think. That's why I like the story of the Magi from Matthew's gospel lesson this morning. It's a story about travel. Sure, it's a story about Jesus being made manifest, being made known to Gentiles for the first time, but it's first and foremost, I think, a story about travel. The wise men are from the east, which is usually taken as a reference to areas of the Persian Empire, and they observe this strange celestial occurrence, which they take to mean that a new king has been born somewhere in the land of Israel. They go to their local bookstore, buy a travel guide, right, and saddle their camels, hopefully the fastest one, right, Wiley? They saddle their camels with gifts of gold and fine spices, and they set off to follow the light of this strange star to where it will take them. it takes them about 2 years of traveling to find the place they're going. And since there was no gas station in Jerusalem, they stop and ask for directions from the local dignitary, King Herod. And after hearing about why the Magi had embarked upon this strange journey, Herod calls them back and he sends these wise men about 9 miles away to Bethlehem in search of this newborn king, with the instructions, of course, to come back and let him know how to get there too, so that this king, for the first time in the history of all the world, would bow to another king voluntarily. And I've spent hours this last week reading about the Magi and speculating about who they were and where they were from and how many of them there might have been, what they did for a living, what happened to them after they left Bethlehem. If only they had the foresight to write a humorous and insightful book about their trip like Mark Twain would have, you know, then I could read it and know everything and just tell you all what I had read. But after researching all of this stuff until I was blue in the face, something that I actually enjoy, you know, don't get me wrong, I really love to just learn about all this stuff. I am a nerd at heart. But I decided that finally, after just researching and studying into all this, there was only a couple things that I could definitively say to you all from this pulpit that I think we could say about the Magi. Number one is that there was more than one of them, and at least one of them was a male. I say this because in the Greek, if you have a group of 100 people that's comprised of 99 women and one male, then you have to put that word for crowd in the Greek in the masculine plural, even though it's mostly women and there's just one man. So I say all this because it could have been wise women that were there too, just from a linguistic perspective. I had a terrible experience where my preacher, when I was about 7, as I was dressed as one of the Magi waiting for our Christmas play to happen, we were all a little rowdy, and he came down to calm us down. And instead of just telling us all sorts of threatening things or looking at us bad, he took a $100 bill out of his wallet and he showed it to us. We're like transfixed on it, you know. And he says, okay, the first person who finds where it talks about the three wise men in the Bible, I'll give you this $100 bill. And so I went and I turned to page 1 in the New Testament, you know, and it wasn't far that I had to read until I found right then. And there it was, wise men from the east. And I said, here it is, Pastor Tim, I found it. And he says, well, where is it that you see that it says three wise men? And oh, I was so mad. Because in that one moment, this guy had tricked me, number one, into calming down. He had tricked me into reading the Bible and studying the Bible. I didn't even realize he had done it. And number three, he had tricked me out of $100. And I was just livid. Anyway. Well, so we can say that there was more than one of these wise men, and that at least one of them was a male. They came from the east of Israel, which is most likely a reference to parts of Persia or Babylon. They gave really good, expensive, and symbolic gifts. Did any of you all ever have an aunt like that? I imagine the wise men like my Aunt June, because she gave some really great presents. One year, a big box arrived that had every He-Man figure that I had ever wanted and didn't have. Couldn't believe it. But I imagine these Magi were something like that. They gave really good, expensive, but in the case of our story from Matthew, very symbolic gifts even. And number four, we can say that their journey to see Jesus and back home again would have taken them several years. Okay, we can say this about the Magi, and it's the journey of the Magi, that trip, that I would like for us to think about this morning. We can deduce from Herod's horrible massacre of all the male children, 2 and younger, that comes right after this, something the reading I shared with you the Sunday following the terrible tragedy at Sandy Hook Elementary. We can deduce from that part of this lesson that the journey of the Magi probably took them at least 2 years to get there, because Herod put to death every male child under the age of 2. There also seems to be a bit of time they spent of that journey in Jerusalem after initially talking to Herod, because he secretly called for the wise men, if you'll remember back to our lesson, after meeting with the scribes and the chief priest. Matthew then tells us that Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem with the command to, quote, search diligently for the child, as if that's not what they had been doing the previous months and months. And then we're told in verse 12 that the wise men left for their own country by another road after being warned in a dream not to return to Herod. It's important for us to take note of all they went through in their search for Jesus. The journey itself was no easy thing. They encountered a madman king who sent the whole of Israel into a panic, and then they had to reroute their entire journey home because of him. This whole story, I think, gives us pause for our own lives. Like the Magi, our journey to Jesus is often long and complicated. Like the Magi, our journey to Jesus is often wrought with any number of malicious figures. And like the Magi, it's important for us to avoid them. We can resist the Herods of our time who try to trick us into the subtle cynicism of believing that wonder and dreams and imagination are just the things that kids have alone and that they're not for so-called grown-up practical men and women. In the end, we really don't know what it was like for the wise men when they arrived back home, though, but we can only imagine. And imagination is not something that we should do without. But their message at Epiphany is about going home another way, about avoiding Herod. It's not about certainties given, but about journeying with joy and wonder in all of creation. It's about dreaming of new futures. It's about following that star of Christ. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. I can't help but leave you with one more quote from Mark Twain in The Innocents Abroad. He says, which I think is one of the best little quotes, he says, "I found out that there ain't no surer way to find out whether you like people or hate them than to travel with them." I thought that was wonderful. I found out that there ain't no sure way. And only Mark Twain can get away with using double negatives like that, you know. So most people can't, but for Twain, he can. You know, there ain't no sure way to find out whether you like people or hate them than to travel with them. Well, may God continue to bless us on this, our common journey, as we travel together, as we search for Jesus in our own world. And may God add his blessing to our search and to our searching. Amen. As Sally Ann comes forward for our prayer time, I have a few requests to add to our list. If you would remember Robert Brown, a friend of Jerry and Bud Allison who has cancer. If you would also remember Jessica as she begins a new half year, I suppose, of teaching over at Jones. You are in our prayers in your new journey there, Jessica. And also, if you would remember Elizabeth Owensby, who is Todd's mother, who's having some biopsy results coming in tomorrow. So if you would please remember them.
Let us turn to God in prayer. Eternal God, we lift our prayers to you as we come this morning in the dawn of a new year. We are aware once more of the fleetingness of time. So much happened to each of us in the past year, sometimes hurt and sometimes happiness, sometimes loss and sometimes gain, sometimes great hope and sometimes great fear. Lord, in your mercy, We've had a whole year to grow in love or fall out of love, to turn our hands to constructive tasks or to turn away in idleness. No matter what we did or failed to do, keep us from dwelling on it too much. You understand our need to look back for a while, but you also know we must begin looking forward, moving on. We do not know what events are before us in this new year, but we do know you are there, and for that we are grateful. Lord, in your mercy. You are a God who breaks down barriers and takes away all that separates us from true living. Hear us now as we come to you. We depend on you to remove the barriers. We count on you to take away the things that separate us from you, from others, and even from ourselves. Lord, in your mercy. We are here this first Sunday of 2013, this Epiphany Day. Help us to be more understanding. Help us to be determined like the Magi, to travel on, to find you each and every day in new and untold ways. Help us to be given to less outbursts of temper and less ready to blame for the rifts that come in human relationships. And dear God, hear us as we pray for those names listed in our bulletin and those names that Curtis has lifted up and all those who are heavy on our hearts this morning, and even the Withers family, as Jessica and Samuel have taken Elliot to urgent care this morning and trying to determine a strange lump in his throat, neck, I'm not real sure. Dear God, hear us as we pray for others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
As our country and the world move off one cliff and seem to head toward many, many others, be with our leaders, be with all the followers, be with us that we may make informed and important decisions with you in mind. Help us to carry your good news to all the world, whether it be in the day-to-day jobs that we do, or as we invite others to come to church with us, or as we just share with one another here in this sanctuary how you have been a part of our lives. Nudge us, encourage us, move us to put you at the forefront. Lord, in your mercy. As a church, a community of believers, guide us as we come together to hear who you are calling us to be in this new year. Lead us as you led the wise men down that other path, that it may indeed lead to bringing you glory and bringing us closer to one another. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, God, for all that you have given us and all you have blessed us with, that we may indeed remember you and the gift of this season, as the wise men have brought gifts to your altar, your child. May we also. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so now let us come before God with our gifts, our tithes, our very offerings.
Thank you.
sing together the doxology. Let us pray. Eternal and loving Father, we give you thanks for these and for all the blessings of life. Take these, our gifts, and use them that your kingdom might come, that your light might shine, that your love might prevail. Amen. Please be seated. I invite you to turn to page 20 in our hymnal and to follow along with our musical responses this day from setting C, page 20 in the hymnal. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You delivered your people from captivity and made covenant to be their sovereign God and brought them to a land that was your gift to them. You raise us up, making us a light to the nations, that through us they might behold your glory. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy,
blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. So important was his birth to all the world that visitors came from afar, bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took a loaf of bread, he blessed it, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took a cup. He gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we give thanks to you, O Lord, for our covenant with Christ through this sacrament. May we live in mystical unity always. And in remembrance of these, your mighty gifts offered for us, hear us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and upon these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, that all might be illumined by the light of his love. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Boldness of the children of God, we are bold to proclaim as he taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ our Lord. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in his blood. Thank you. Let us pray.
Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you've given yourself to us. May it seal the covenant between us and grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Christ, our Lord and our light, we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for the journey we have been on and the journey that you will continue to be with us on. Lead us from this altar, this meal, into your world. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as your bread and your cup nourish us for our journey, O Lord, may you give us strength that we might go out from this place in the strength of your service and in the strength of your love to offer ourselves for others. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Let us pray. The star was in the sky long ago, but it's still there today. Put our eyes on that star, and may we continue to follow it all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to stand for our final hymn. It's going to be number 224, and we'll sing just the first and last verses of Good Christian Friends Rejoice, 224.